In the battle to retake the city of Tikrit from ISIS fighters, the tomb of Saddam Hussein was virtually leveled, pictures torn down and replaced by Shiite militia flags and photos of militia leaders. What does this signify? Tom Rogan is a columnist for the National Review and a panelist on the McLaughlin Group on PBS. He joins me now. Tom Rogan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Great to be with you, John. Thank you.
There does appear to be a battle over symbols of what gets determined as history in the Middle East, whether we're talking about archaeological sites or Saddam Hussein's grave. All these attacks on symbols are likely to inflame sectarian tensions. How do you see what's going on?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. But I think part of what is happening with these, with the appropriation of, as you say, symbols by different sectarian groups is the intent to actually purify the land, right? That the actors doing this, whether it be an array of Shia militias around Tikrit or the Islamic State in terms of its actions against majority Shia settlements and ancient artifacts and monuments and memorials, all of this is centered in the belief by various groups that they alone hold the keys to reality, to political reality, but also to historic reality. And that it does show the level of religious and social background to what is happening here. It's not specifically political in a kind of Western sense.
In the battle for Tikrit, because it was Iraqi forces fighting alongside Shia militia, I would have thought that the battle tested the solidarity that might have existed between these two, and that Sunnis in Iraq might see the retaking of Tikrit as a kind of a favor that the Shia were doing for the Sunni to step away from the fighting that had taken place in 2006, etc. But the desecration of this grave makes me think that no, in fact, the bitterness is still just as there as and real as it's ever been.
Right. I mean, I think there would be a pretty good groundswell of people around Tikrit, again, who would have actually, and again, you'll find this when eventually the Iraqi army goes into Mosul, Sunnis who would have welcomed the fact to have been liberated from the kind of absolutism of the Islamic State. The difficulty, of course, is that when these Shia militias go in, a lot of them tend to exceed the basic actions of security, that they then go and either try and, again, appropriate land of Sunni families, that they try and marginalize Sunni families, that they try and do things that are designed to show their sectarian power. Again, the attack on symbols is the best example. But the difficulty is, unless there is a unified force in the form of the Iraqi military and a cross-sectarian governance structure that actually has the respect of people regardless of their baseline sectarian identity, all these things will continue to multiply. And, you know, it is not sectarianism per se, but it's the politicization of sectarianism. It's certain groups that identify themselves in wholly sectarian terms, trying to force Sunni, Shia, different sects of both Kurds and other minorities to identify themselves based on those sort of primary identities rather than as Iraqis, rather than as citizens of, again, Tikrit or Mosul. And so that is the great challenge.
Well, let's take as a best case scenario that the desecration of the Saddam Hussein grave was the act of outlier vandals, and that in a sense this first battle is a sign of some level of solidarity. What's going to be tested as that same force goes into Mosul, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, if you look, the history of Mosul is one of which there have always been some pretty significant tensions between, again, that sort of politicized sectarianism issue, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Kurds earlier on. The problem will be that I tend to think these Shia militias, again, will they'll do the same thing. They will marginalize Sunni communities there, but the best case scenario is that the Iraqi military, that there are some effective Iraqi military units, especially on the sort of more special forces line level, if they are given the lead there and the Iranian-supported militias are marginalized, then there is a better opportunity for some kind of, you know, positive to come from this. And again, and what will also be important is the kind of representation that the Iraqi government puts into Mosul after the city is taken back. And what I mean by that is what kind of people, what kind of public service officers are there? Do they have a reputation for being relatively fair arbiters and managers, or do they have a reputation as a sectarian actor? So that will be the distinguishing factor.
You've mentioned, and we've seen, Iran has a good deal of influence in this military operation right now. Do you think Iran wants the sectarian tensions inflamed, or wants a more secularized city hall, government working for the people scenario in the next few months?
The difficulty is with the groups they're supporting and with the ideological fervor that they present from the guardianship of the jurors, which is the Iranian ideology under Khomeini, it's very, very difficult for them to actually restrain even their own political strategy. In the longer term, there is a difficulty, and the Obama administration is going to have to be astute to that, regardless of what happens with the nuclear negotiations. That doesn't, of course, mean that you sort of go to war with Iran, but it does mean that you have a sort of eyes-open approach to knowing that Iran is not going to be an unrestrained, positive partner in Iraq's political development, that they will have to be compelled in certain ways.
Tom Rogan, columnist for the National Review and panelist on the McLaughlin Group on PBS. Tom, thanks so much.
John, thanks.